Cross your fingers, sugar. Cross those girlish fingers, those womanly fingers. You old timers are familiar with the way Jimmy Johnson used to do it. I wouldn't run if I was you. I don't trust it. I don't trust the internet. I don't trust anybody anymore. I trust about three people. Well, I trust 76,003 people, 76,000 fish heads in Cowboy Nation and my three. Jimmy used to talk about, and I don't remember if he ever called it the Pygmalion effect, but that's what he was talking about. He learned it in freshman psychology class. And you may know this as the way Jimmy used to put it. If you treat the kid, whether he's your child or your pupil or your player, treat him like he's an A student, and he's more likely to get an A. That's my interpretation of the Pygmalion effect. Now, if you're really old, you're going, wait a minute, wasn't that a play by George Bernard Shaw? Sir? And then didn't it turn into a movie starring Rex Harrison and Toots McGee, who Audrey Hepburn.
But they changed the name to My Fair Lady.
My Fair Lady. And of course, they had a romance, right? And
May, December.
And Rex Harrison was 90 and she was 14. But that's another story, Hollywood. So the Pygmalion effect. The Pygmalion effect. And it makes incredible sense. And so I'm going to use Jimmy Johnson tonight to help me hand out the Cowboys report card. Couple of sidebars. As always, our evening programs are driven by Honda Cars of McKinney and BMW of McKinney. Also, the Fish Fest Cowboys Watch Party is October 12th. We're just a couple weeks away now. October 12th, it's Cowboys at Panthers Sunday. It's here in DFW at the Maverick Bar, 16 Hebron. Yes, I own it. 16 minutes from anywhere. And so, and this is going to be a challenge for us, but a bunch of you guys are coming in from out of town, whatever. And so, Steve and the fellas is trying to get some level of head count. Is there any way that you could raise your hand or say, yeah, I'm coming? It doesn't matter so much for the Sunday because, you know, if whether there's 100 people or 300 people, we're going to make it work. But there's Steve from Texas reminding us, first annual Fish Fest, the watch party. A bunch of guys are going to go take a tour of the star on, I presume, Saturday. I might poke my head in on that. And then we're trying to put together, hey, what are we going to do Saturday night? So are you coming? And then raise your hand or say, yeah, I think so, or something. And we'll do this over the course of the next couple of days. Obviously, I know that everybody that's coming might not be watching live right now. Papa Savage, should we leave a sign-up sheet? I think I could do that below after this posts, right? So there's Steve from Texas kind of giving you the agenda. Ron Fegg, I highly recommend touring the star. Yeah, see, Cruz, you guys all have way smarter ideas than I do. Now, we do have the Discord email. And I know there's dozens and dozens of people that are saying, yes, I'm in there. So I don't know. Raise your hand, create a Google spreadsheet, create a sign-up sheet. I don't know. Just come up with a way. Stink Floyd, I'm in New Jersey and I'm broke. So no, I know I ain't going. So the Pygmalion effect is, it's basically a self-fulfilling prophecy. Tell your sons, and I did this, you could be president of the United States. You could be anything you want to be. And then you know, you got them shooting for the stars, and then maybe they land on the moon and everything works out okay. So how does this Pygmalion effect apply today and now? I'm going to go back to the five keys that I thought, there's no way the Cowboys can do these five things, but what if they did? John Jones, hey Fish, what's the Cowboys defense ranked? 32? Jangly Echoes, $10 pitch-in. Do a Google form. It works great. It's shareable. Feature a web link. On the bright side, we competed with two Super Bowl contenders. You did indeed two NFC championship game. That might be the NFC championship game. Philadelphia and Green Bay. And you were right there with them. It's true. And that's why this morning, my show this morning, my take on the tie is very optimistic, and I think you're going to see that reflected here because I want a Pygmalion effect the Cowboys. I want them to think, you know, Maybe we are pretty good. As they found a way to forge a 40-40 overtime tie on Sunday night. I'm not going to grade the Cowboys on low expectations for this exercise. I'm going to Pygmalion effect them. So Jimmy Johnson influence here. And I wrote, as you remember, we talked about, as you remember, call me naive or foolish, but stuff happens sometimes. The ball's pointy. Flukes happen. Make flukes happen. And then I predicted the Cowboys would lose 38-20. So, and by the way, the rest of the world, if you go check out, and I know you will this week, Prophet X, if you go check out what was thought of in terms of Cowboys-Packers, we'll see how it reflects Cowboys-Jets this week as the Cowboys bring out their Arctic white uniforms in New York. We'll see how the point spread works. We recognize that most of the country didn't think the Cowboys had a snowball's chance in that thing. Prophet X is a peer-to-peer opportunity for you to deal with not the sports books or not the house, deal with your own peers. So get in there. You'll see the links. And you got the link below. Use the promo code FISH and terms and conditions apply as we send you to Prophet X. Go have some fun there. So here are my five things. Could you do this? If you could do these five, did you have a chance? Item one, fluke alert. Fluke alert. Win the turnover battle. Create some flukes. And we talked about how shoddy he likes to have this goal. We're going to win the turnover battle in a game 3-0. Well, no, but they won it 1-0. They needed a bounce. And what happened was they created some bounces. Blocked PAT, return for 2 points. That's creating a bounce. Dak Prescott rushing touchdown. That's creating. James Houston strip sack. That's creating. Check, check, check. The grade for the Cowboys creating flukes, they get an A. Pygmalion effect. Item two, run at one. We coined the phrase because I'm such a clever sports writer. Use the run game to negate Micah Parsons. Dallas going into last night, rushing for over 100 yards in each game. And the running game was effective again last night with Javonte Williams. And without starting offensive linemen, not only Beebe and Booker, but then you had Guyton with a concussion. You're playing backup, backup, backup. And I saw somebody today go, oh, it was Baldy, Brian Baldinger. I know he didn't really get to the quarterback, but boy, he had an – he didn't – if the pass rusher doesn't get to the quarterback, he didn't do enough. And frankly, if he's getting paid $47 million a year, Packers fans, I promise you, Packer fans right now are going, he didn't do enough. By the way, Alan Wright, this morning, we're kind of debating. So I'm still trying to find a rule because what I've got is different answers via Google. I need to ask somebody that's smarter than me about whether or not that's a sack. And the really great Micah play, the only great play he made, the only impactful play he made the whole game. He had one tackle, to my eyes, and the one he had was chasing down Dak from behind, keeping Dak from scoring a touchdown in the very late going, of course. Dak, it was scrambling, so it was an intended pass play, and then he runs. And Alan Wright made the point this morning, if that's the circumstance, then it's a sack. And my argument is, how do you know whether or not Lamar Jackson's intending to pass? How do you know what the design of the pass play is? So every time Lamar Jackson gets tackled for a loss, it's a sack. And it seems really gray there. I agree with Dak Prescott. I think they gave Dak Prescott a sack. I'm sorry, gave Micah Parsons a sack because it gave him a number. I really do. And the Cowboys should call the league and say, get that out of there. The other thing about it is, that's getting lost in the debate about what is a sack. Dak Prescott crossed the line of scrimmage. They gave him a zero, but he ends up flopping. He started at the 4-yard line. He's flopping across the 4-yard line. Oh, well, give him his damn sack. They nullified Micah's pass rush ability. They did. And the numbers that he got, Pro Football Focus said, he had 9 quarterback hurries. No, he didn't. Somebody wrote, he almost had a strip sack. No, he didn't. He's like 3 feet away. He waved at the ball. He didn't do anything. Dak never saw him. Dak didn't care. Zach Luna, $5 pitch in. The offense is legit. Micah barely touched Dak. Green Bay and New York, excellent defensive lines, both shut down. Even if our defense was 20th, this combo would work. And it's not so much about, obviously, the ranking 20 or 32. It's about the effectiveness. This is an extremely ineffective defense right now in terms of allowing yards and points. But in terms of Micah getting schemed out of the game, Shoddy and the staff, they did that. To the point where I assume, I mean, Micah was so invisible for stints, I assumed he was taking a sideline nap and eating nachos. Grade on take Micah out of the game. A. Aaron K., I'm an hour and a half away from the Maverick Bar. I'd love to make it. Everything would have to go just right for me to come. Come on. It's going to go just right because you're going to beat the Panthers, damn it. Ken S., 14 missed tackles. The defensive scheme is not working. They did make changes. So it's conceivable that the defensive players, I'm not taking it off, Eberflus. It's conceivable that the defensive players aren't good enough. Conceivable. Item three, make Green Bay one-dimensional. The idea, the scary part of this game going in was you got Diggs, and he's not quite right. Gets credit for a couple of good tackles, though. You got Bland coming off the foot. Probably not quite right. What changes can you make to take them, Green Bay, out of their game? How about blitzing? You know what? They did. They played Clowney. They changed their linebackers. They didn't start Diggs in the game. And they did blitz. Didn't work well enough. But they did it. Jeffrey G., did I see Mozzie and Clark together in the field at the same time? Did the secondary improve midway through the game? I don't think the secondary improved. Romeo Dobbs is still catching touchdown passes. And he's a jag. I don't know about the Mozzie and Clark together. I bet you there was a short yardage time when that would make perfect sense. Clark, by the way, thanks, Jeffrey, for your question. Clark had a more impactful game than Micah did. Dallas is now allowing 420 yards a game. That's the worst in the NFL. So force Green Bay out of something offensively? Dallas didn't do that. We're going to give them a D. We're going to give the Cowboys a D. Item four. Get in the red zone. And obviously score touchdowns. But be willing to roll the dice to do so. Now, Dallas passed on that go-for-it concept early on, and it was a mistake. They're in their own territory, and it's fourth and one, and they try to draw off sides, and they're go for it. When the other team's way better than you, go for it. But as the game went on, Shoddy, to use his golf analogy, he went and got a bunch of his clubs out of the bag, and they're doing all kinds of ball fakes, wildcat, Dak running, and not like super exotics. Not talking about triple reverses, which I hate. Just a little craftiness. And in the end, I believe Dallas is 4 of 5 in the red zone with that shoestring Micah thing ruining it. Otherwise, the Cowboys are scoring touchdowns every time they get to the red zone. So B plus. And finally, and I thought this was the whole theme of the night, and I was really impressed with Schottenheimer and the whole coaching staff, all of them. And then the trickle down to the players. Chris Newman, yeah, the clock operator doesn't seem to understand the concept of home cooking. That final second in that game should have gone way faster. Curb the enthusiasm, we said. Don't make this game about the sidebars and look at them all. That's why NBC moved the pregame show here. It was that big. Bill Matrenko, Collinsworth said that Sanborn and Fowler are playing great. Glad I was listening to Brad and Bame. No. Yeah, yes, your decision is correct. Collinsworth, obviously, that's a tar job. He's been doing it a long time. Outstanding. I mean, he was talking about guys on both teams like they were the greatest thing since sliced bread. He's talking about Matthew Golden, the rookie receiver for the Packers, like he's something special. He's just, you know, he's like their fourth best wide receiver or something. He's talking about how there's just nothing like having it prepared for Kevontae Turpin. Yeah, there is. As a receiver, yeah, there is. The really fast guy on all those other teams, that's, you know, I mean, you ever play against Tyreek Hill? Yeah, there's. So maybe he got caught up in the hype too. Maybe he got caught up in the sidebars. But Micah's post-trade return. Green Bay having won five straight against the Cowboys. No C.D. Lamb. George Pickens and how he's going to control himself in the pressure cooker. The prospect of being 1-3. Ugh. Jerry Jones saying anything. All those things were a story. And on and on and on. And the Cowboys found a way to focus. The Breeze, yeah, cut Collinsworth some slack. It was such a boring game. He had to talk about something. again, I'm not a linebacker coach. I don't think Jack Sanborn played well last night, and I don't think he's played well this season. And as the Cowboys continue to try to churn their bodies on defense, it would seem to me that that would be a place to make a change. I predicted that the distractions would get the best of Dallas, not to mention that the Packers would be better. And I predicted Packers 38, Cowboys 20. So what really happened? I'm giving them a standout report card. Some goofy defensive penalties, some shoddy tackling. That's about the only thing that really merits a stint for these students in after-school detention. And yeah, Leo Fowl, many of you are pointing out, I mean, that was a brain cramp. And you're trying to eliminate all of them. You can't eliminate all of them. They're human. The Packers had them. Packers really should have, I'm going to use Stephen Jones air quotes, should have lost that game. The clock management at the end was asking for them to run out of time. If that ball does something else besides bounce off Sanborn's back, the 1 second expires. Like the hometown clock operator should have made it expire anyway. Shh. I know that a lot of people, kind of including the Cowboys themselves, are billing this game as unsatisfying. And I don't see it that way. They overcome a mountain of challenges. It's about as successful a tie as you're going to get. This was a good tie. So take your overall B grade, Cowboys and Cowboys Nation, and show it off to your parents. And in the tradition of Jimmy Johnson and the Pygmalion effect, be proud of what this report card suggests you can achieve. Thank you to 76,000 fish heads in Cowboy Nation. Let's start making our plans for the Cowboy Watching Party Fish Fest. Steve and others, you now have gotten instructions. Make a Google spreadsheet. or get involved in the Discord email chain, and then you can communicate directly with the fellows that way too. We appreciate you getting in, getting on, and being good. Straight dope, no bull. Fish out.